Join me tonight in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. And the preacher, the prophet, the evangelist, the declarer by the name of Malachi has been given a tremendous responsibility, and that's preaching the gospel to some folks. And part of the gospel is ruined by the fall. That is part of the gospel. You cannot preach the gospel without preaching ruined by the fall. And he goes into that like Isaiah does in large extent, because he's dealing with a group of people, a bunch of Jews, who have no concept that they've done anything wrong. And it's not bad, it's not negative if you change God's law a little bit. And so they have. And they've altered it. And they've altered the covenant. And they've messed up the covenant. And in this last few verses of this second chapter, I'd like to read verse 9 down through verse 17. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all people. This is God speaking through the prophet. And that's one of the things that Malachi, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Habakkuk, Joel, Amos, they were very faithful, as Moses was, just to declare what God had given them. We don't have any of the interjection, I think. It was just, this is what God said. Now, God's dealing with somebody he's already dealt with. These people that are being used to record this or to preach these messages have already been dealt by grace. God's grace has been made known to them through the preaching of the gospel, and he has visited them. He has acquainted himself with them. He has made himself known to them. He has regenerated them, just like he does today. So they are faithful to the word, and it's real simple when you got the word right in front of you. You don't have to deviate. If you got the message, if you got the lines right in front of you, you don't have to deviate. So he says here, as the Lord shares with him, I've made you despised and humiliated you in the eyes of all people. Now that's another translation. But therefore, I've also made you contemptible and base before all people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Or you've been partial, you've told this group this thing, and you've told this group this thing, and you told this group this thing, and you haven't been honest with God's word to these folks. And my friends, as the old preacher said, the politician said, some have asked me if I'm for it, and some have asked me if I'm against it. And I'm with my friends. Some are for it, and some are against it. So I'm with my friends. Well, that's the way these priests have been. I'm with my friends. If they'll give, I will give them pleasing things. And if they're not, I'll give them negative things. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do you deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regarded not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will in your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy corruption and the wife of the covenant. And did not he make one, yet he had he the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one, that he might seek a goodly seed? Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Well, this continues on in the next chapter some too, but we're going to stop right there. And I'd like to deal with a couple of verses here. In verse 9, we come to the conclusion that it cannot be expected that he who is false to his God can be true to his friend. If you have a bad attitude towards God, you can't help but being treacherous to your friend. And that's what he's bringing up. Your attitude towards God is reflected on how you're treating people. It was a good point that was just brought up, and we should remember that all people to us could be lost sheep for the house of Israel. And when we have an attitude towards God that he has loved me with an everlasting love, and I love him with all my being. I love that about Calvin. I just love you. I just love you. You know, and I miss that. I just love you. Well, when we have that, we have a different attitude towards one another, and we have a different attitude towards the people around us. Corrupt practices are genuine fruit and product of corrupt principles. So whatever happens, what's going on in here is going to be really reflected out here. I'll never forget Brother Henry saying, we don't become a bank robber when we rob a bank. We become a bank robber and then we rob the bank. And that just goes in all areas. So it's the corruption of the heart. He's bringing out that we are ruined by the fall. Ruined by the fall. And we really never come to real conclusion on that until we're regenerated. And then we realize God is right on that. I was, and I continue to be, and if it wasn't for the grace of God and His Spirit in me, I'd still be ruined by the fall. In verse 10, it says there, verse 10, have we not all one Father? Now, we could, and I'm sure that the Jews thought of this, preachers have thought of this, and none of them are completely wrong, and all of them are probably right, but there are going to be some people that felt, are we not, don't we have all the same problem? Adam's, my goodness, we can trace our line right back to Adam. And we find that God said that I have made of one blood everybody. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. This is brought up over here as we find that when God created man, it didn't matter what color they became after the Tower of Babel. Doesn't matter what language they spoke. Doesn't matter what customs they had, what food they ate. In reality, it is very easy to see that all folks, Acts chapter 17, verse 26, that all folks from the very beginning until now have a common lineage. It's traceable. People in Africa has the same blood types as we do. And people in South America, there's one blood. And we might have different types, and we're careful anymore about getting different types. Acts chapter 17, and there in verse 26, the scriptures share this, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now, God has surely done this, but we can, maybe not on paper, but in the Word of God, we can trace our line right back to Adam. And before that, we can trace it right back, on this side of Adam, right back to Noah. We have common lineage. Doesn't matter what color, what race, what religion, what... And it really sends the overtone, ruined by the fall, Adam brought it on, and we're carrying it forward. So we are, as it's brought out here in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10, have we not all one Father? We have that commonality. To the Jews, they could say, well, Abraham is our father. And this is brought up a number of times throughout the scriptures and in the Lord's preaching and teaching on this earth during his own ministry. It was brought up by the Jews. Look with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8 and verse 39. Not all one father. Well, to all of us, Abraham is our father, or Noah is our father, but to the Jews, Abraham. And here in John chapter 8 and in verse 39, we read, and they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children. Now he's talking two languages here. They're talking one language. He's talking another language. They're talking in the flesh. He's talking in the spirit. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But Abraham was the father of Israel. Abraham was the father of the children of Israel. He was the father of all those that went through the wilderness wanderings and went into the promised land and was carried off into... Where did they take those folks? Right back to where Abraham came from. Ur of the Chaldees, into Babylon. So he was their father. And they bring it up. Abraham's our father. If ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But ye, now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. And he goes on, well, in the same chapter, in chapter 8 and verse 53, it says, art thou greater than our father Abraham? As these people spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ, are you greater than our father Abraham? Notice in verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil, Abraham is dead, and the prophets that thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall not taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. And it goes, continues on. But are you greater than our father Abraham? They agreed with this. This was a common thought among the Jews. In fact, it was so common, they said, if we belong to Abraham, we're okay. We have salvation. It's a general salvation to every Jew. Now, the Gentiles are right out. But us Jews, we're okay. Well, it's interesting the number of times throughout the Old Testament, Isaiah being one in particular, that shared that the Gentiles would be brought in. When we get to the New Testament, nobody believed that. Are you greater than our father Abraham? And then in verse 56 of that chapter, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Even the Lord said, Abraham is your father. But he was given something beyond what you have. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then in the book of Romans, chapter 4. Would you turn there to the book of Romans, chapter 4? Romans, chapter 4 and verse 16. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, therefore, it is of faith, that is, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. From a representative point, he represents every believer. So we can say, Abraham is my father. He represents a believer. He represents someone that God acted upon. The God of glory appeared unto him in Ur of the Chaldees. and visited him and brought him out of that place. And he believed God. Now, God dealt with him before he ever was saved, just like he does with the rest of us. God was dealing with him in Ur of the Chaldees. God brought him out. But then it is written, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So we look at this, and then Abraham's your father. Abraham's our father. Abraham is our father. And over there in the book of Malachi, it talks about we have this commonality. And they were agreeing on that point there in the book of Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10. Malachi chapter 2 verse 10 says, have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do you deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of the fathers? And then in verse 11, we're brought into Judah, a child of Jacob. You know, to many people, Jacob could be the father. We're just stepping down through the line. Abraham, Adam, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Judah. Not everyone that was an Israelite was of the tribe of Judah, but everyone that was of Israel was of the tribe of Jacob. Direct line. Our father Jacob. Now, would you turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 32? Genesis chapter 32. There was something mentioned throughout the book of Genesis several times about this relationship that God had with his chosen people. Jacob have I loved. Brought that out. First book, first chapter. Verse 2. Jacob have I loved. He's bringing that out. And the Apostle Paul brought it out in the New Testament, carried it right down to our time. Jacob have I loved. Jacob, why? Well, look over here in the book of Genesis, chapter 32 and verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A covenant God dealing with his people, represented by Jacob. Jacob have I loved. All the children spiritually of Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. Jacob have I loved. And then in the book of Genesis chapter 50, we have one of the descendants, that son that was taken off into captivity. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24, Joseph had this to say about that relationship. And Joseph said unto his brethren, Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24, Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took the oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bone from hence. So 400 years before it took place, he's making them promise that you take out my bones. Why? He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and I fall under that. I am a child of Jacob. I am a child of God. And in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, just a couple of pages there, Exodus chapter 2 and verse 24, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And he remembers his covenant even to this day. Way back over to the New Testament again for one verse, if you would. Well, three verses. The book of Luke, chapter 20. Luke, chapter 20. and verse 37. Now that the dead are raised. Now, I read into this verse today and I said, when was this verse put in here? Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he calleth the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The dead be raised. The dead have resurrection. Speaking of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in a living sense and not in a dead sense. So we have this relationship. God heard their groaning. He promised that 400 years, I'll take you out of here because I made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Just like he's made a promise, a covenant with all of his people that there will be a day when I'll take you out of here. I will resurrect you. I'll move you out of this place that a real Egypt that we live in. I was told today when Donnie Bell's wife passed away, Donnie said, well, my wife has left the land of the dead to be in the land of the living. And what a statement. We are really in the land of the dead, and we're looking forward to the land of the living. We're just a little grove of palm trees in a dry, thirsty place. Just a small place of comfort. And in the book of Acts, we find that Stephen brought this up. Acts chapter 3. Well, this is before he did. Acts chapter 3. And there in verse 13. Acts chapter 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. We have this relationship. There is truly some relationship about God our Father, Adam our Father, Abraham our Father, Jacob our Father. And we'll look in a few moments about the rest of that. And in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is talking about this to a whole group of people that are pretty upset with him. In fact, they carry out a death sentence on him in chapter 7 and verse 32. Acts chapter 7 and verse 32. Saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. And this is just in the middle of some thoughts that Stephen is bringing up to those folks, those Jews. Now, it's true, God hath created us physically, if we've been saved, spiritually. We could find ourselves in Abraham because he's the father of the faithful. We could find ourselves in Jacob, because Jacob have I loved, and all his family have I loved him. We can find ourselves in Judah, the line of the tribe of Judah. So we can say, as these folks are told, we have one Father. We have one Father, and that is God. And there in verse, Judah hath dealt treacherously, it says there in verse 11, and an abomination to commit committed in Israel and Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord. Now, I don't understand all that means, but that's serious. He hath profaned the holiness of the Lord. And I'll probably spend some more time on that. Which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange God. Now, I thought, in thinking about this, we find that this is the iceberg math. Mike has shared with me several times in my study when we're talking about an issue. He says, it's iceberg. 10% shows. 90% is below the surface and you can't tell what's going on. Well, here, 10% is this Judah, says, is married the daughter of a strange God. That's 10% of the problem. The real problem is they've gone after other gods. You cannot worship God and worship and be with other gods because they're just going in different directions. Other gods are going in the opposite direction of the living God. Well, or they're just standing still, is what we find in the scripture, because they have eyes but cannot see, and they have hands but cannot do, and they can't have feet and they cannot walk, and they have mouths but cannot speak. So they're standing still. And God is on the move. He's drawing every one of his lost sheep out to himself in time at the appointed time. It is appointed unto man once to die, but there's also an appointment to live. And God has appointed every one of his lost sheep a day of living. And here we have a problem. It's 10%. You married the daughter of somebody that worships another god. Well, it's always important to marry someone, but I think of Nancy. She married a charlatan. She thought I was a believer. And years down the road, Lord saves me. Well, it could happen anytime, anywhere. I'm glad that we was able to stay together after that. She's put up with me for a long time, the way I was. Well, here we have, it says, the daughter of a strange god. Well, it really boils down to this. Their rock is not our rock. Their hope is not our hope. Their way is not our way. Now, we might have been going that way, and we might have been worshiping false gods. But once the Lord saves us, it's over. We can't go that track anymore. We can't follow that anymore. There's such an attraction that God puts within us. There's a magnetic draw that he does not allow to go that way. We may hear something sometime and says, oh, that sounds pretty good, and then think about it. Someone comes along and preaches the message. Oh, man. What brings us right back? God does that. Doesn't allow us to go off. Well, I'd like to turn over to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32 for just a moment. The surface problem is marrying the outside of Israel. Below the surface, you do not honor God. You have gone after strange gods. And that's a natural thing to do. We cannot honor God in our flesh. We cannot honor God in our old life. We can only honor God in the fact that he saved us by his grace. That's the only honor we can give him. So Deuteronomy chapter 32, it's a wonderful message here. It's a whole chapter long, and I'm going to break into it. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 1 says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O ye earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. That's an important thought. It isn't as something that goes from here up. It is something that comes from here down. I will drop it like rain. It's God to us. My speech will distill as the dew and the small rain upon the tender herb and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and true is he. And then in verse 5, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Now, jump over with me to verse 31. Deuteronomy 32, verse 31. And it's brought out in here, for their rock is not our rock. And I like the way the translators put that. It's a small rock, small letter rock. And then the next one is a large capital letter rock. That's good. Their little insignificant pebble carved into something with two eyes and a nose and two ears is worthless. Their rock is not our rock. Even our enemies themselves, being judges, they've seen the acts of God at Jericho, or soon to be at Jericho. They've watched it throughout the wilderness wanderings. Their rock is not our rock. And we know by what the scriptures tell us, Jesus brought it up in the New Testament as he's talking to people. This is the fulfillment of the book of Isaiah. They hear, but don't hear. they don't comprehend. And we go to the Psalms, it tells us they go out there, or Isaiah, they go out there, they cut down a tree, they use part of it for fire, they use part of it to warm themselves, bake their bread, and then they'll cut out a piece and turn it over to an artisan and have them carve out something, and then they'll fall down and worship it, and they can't see the ignorance of it. We can't. Naturally speaking, we can't. We look at it and say, that's really foolish. But without the knowledge of God, they can't see the difference. It's strange. And people will point their fingers at people doing that and have the same problem in their very own life as what they're worshiping. So their God is not our God, and it's, or their little God is not the true God. Their rock is not our rock. And it is brought out over here in the book of Malachi. You have really messed up. You are really demonstrating the fact that you are ruined by the fall. You have one Father, but you've deviated. And we find that everybody under Adam has deviated from God's command, cannot keep it. And then it says there in verse 12, and the Lord will cut off the man that doeth this. So judgment's going to come. It can't help but come. And there is one last thing. There was a man one time called Abraham, his father. He says, please go to my brothers and tell them about this place. And Abraham said, if they won't believe Malachi, they'll not believe though Jesus Christ himself raises from the dead. So the prophets have their word. They had their place. They were the gospel in their day and time. Jesus Christ has promised all the way through, I'm coming. I'm the Messiah. I'm going to correct this among my people. I will change them. I will come and dwell in them. I will love Jacob's all the way through. I'll apply this to Jacob's all the way through. But there's a whole host that won't know the difference all of their life.